Welcome and get ready for a front row seat on Icons with Ava Johanna, the live show that is raising the bar in the entertainment space worldwide. You're about to be right in the middle of heart-pounding conversations and real-time connection that ignite transformation within. Our global live show stars the industry's powerhouses, visionaries, and cultural icons. Together, we'll walk the path of legendary entrepreneurs, influential business moguls, celebrities, and iconic brand architects. Join the conversation, seize the opportunity to engage directly with icons of their industries, and immerse yourself in an unparalleled learning experience. Icons isn't just a show. It's an opportunity to step into the minds and hearts of industry leaders and run with their advice. So grab your popcorn, because this is the space where icons are born. For everyone that is here live, how are you feeling? Welcome to Icons. This is a live show, a live podcast, which means that we want you to take part in the conversation and to really ask questions, share your feedback, share what's lighting you up, share the aha moments that you are having as we are having this beautiful discussion. It is not often that you get the opportunity to be able to really plug into the minds of so many different thought leaders and individuals that are truly trailblazing across different industries. And Mikozy is one of those people who, when I first met her, absolutely blew me away. And I'm so excited, Mikozy, for you to be joining us today, because I think that there's so much for us to learn about this balance of authority and energy and leadership and business and a new way of leading that isn't just from the mind and isn't just from these old paradigms of hustling and forcing and just tooth and nail climbing to the top, but finding the flow that is yours, that is uniquely yours, and letting that be the fire under your ass. So welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you for joining.
Oh my gosh, I've been looking forward to this. Like, I was so excited. I literally woke up before the butt crack of dawn.
I love that. That makes me so happy. I actually have been sleeping in quite a bit lately because I got a puppy two months ago. And the first month was like sleep deprivation city. And so now she's finally sleeping until like 7:30, and it's been so wonderful. She bites me though to wake up. So that's when I know it's time to take her out.
Yeah. We got a kitten for my birthday, which was it's been about a month. So we also have been in the same kind of, cats love to stay up all night. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, let me explore everything.
Yeah. 2 a.m.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, for everyone here that's joining us live, make sure that you say hi in the chat. And if you have any questions as we're having the conversation, don't be shy. Feel free to just drop your questions in and we'll make sure to answer them as we go through the conversation. But I personally, selfishly, have so many questions for you. And I think it would be helpful because I know that there are some people here who have never heard your story, who have no idea who you are and are about to be blessed with just your experience and everything that you share today. So why don't we actually start from there? Because when I first met you, I had just known you as the mentor and the coach that had supported Catherine Zenkina, because Cynthia Stant had just talked you up. And I was like, wow, if Catherine is working with Mikozy, then she must be just really embodied in her work and really in integrity with her work. But I had no idea the experience and the breadth of study that you had chosen to embark through in your life, let alone your own lived experiences. So why don't we actually take it back to how you first began as a teenager and then diving deeper into your shamanic studies?
Yeah, I always say that my life was like I was two people, and I just converged. So my story really begins at the beginning of my life. I, from a very early age, remembered my last life here and experienced like spirit animals and all of these things as a kid. But I also had this side of me Now I know, like, I have a Virgo moon and a Virgo south node. So there's this side of me that's extremely practical, very high achieving, goal oriented. And so I kind of set aside a lot of my spiritual experience in exchange for beating the statistics. And like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to achieve and I'm going to do all of the things, right? So I had this experience where I'm, you know, top student, vice president of my class, like those sorts of things, right? And simultaneously having a lot of spiritual experiences behind the scenes and not really sharing with anyone except for those in my like immediate circle. So as a teenager, very, very young, I was gifted my first tarot deck. I started reading tarot at like 12. And I also got into personal development as well. And everything really shifted for me at 15. Sorry, I didn't expect to be so emotional about this today. I mean, I know why. So at 15, my best friend was murdered by her boyfriend. And that night, she appeared at the end of my bed. And up until that point, I had been kind of trying to convince myself that my gifting wasn't real, or it was just mind trickery. But when she appeared at my bed, I was blinking. I like pinched myself. I was rubbing my eyes, trying to make her go away. And she laughed, except no sound came out. And I was like, okay, so that I'm not just making this up. And she communicated telepathically and told me that she just came to say she was okay and that she was moving on to the other side. And after that, my world was rocked. I spent about a year in silence as a teenager. I went from student vice president, homecoming attendant, all this, that show choir, all the things, to very inward, trying to understand not only the traumas that I had experienced, but also what is this reality? Because I'm experiencing something that everybody says is not even possible, right? So continue on through my life. I'm still very focused on achieving, but I'm also experiencing a lot of sickness. And now I understand that to be what we call the calling sickness. It's essentially when you are called to a very specific purpose and you're not embodied in that. And it creates misalignment and disease in the body. So I ultimately ended up graduating from college and having given birth to my son. And I had this really incredible experience where essentially a voice saved my life after giving birth to him. And it told me to get up, get dressed, and go to the hospital. This was 2 days after coming home. And I get to the hospital. And immediately they rushed me back and admitted me because I had developed postpartum preeclampsia and my blood pressure was in like comatose levels. I should not have been able to sit there and even have a conversation with them the way that things were. So after graduating college, I had the intention of going to med school. Because I mean, if you are an overachiever, what do? You go to med school or you go to law school. That's it. And I decided after having this like miracle experience, miracle baby, I did not want to go down that path. I did not want to work 80 hours a week. And something shifted in me. I really started following what was actually in alignment with me. I started prioritizing not what everybody thought about me, but actually what was true for me in that moment. And really went on this self-exploration. So about a year after that, I'm working at Target as a manager instead of going to med school. And I realized that's not going to work for me. And so I got into like my first successful entrepreneurship journey. And within a year, I skyrocketed to success and realized at the top that even though I enjoyed what I was doing, even though I enjoyed the women that I was working with and supporting, really felt like I was making a great impact in the world, I was like, this isn't fulfilling and it's not, I'm not living at my highest potential. So I started asking the universe and myself different questions, like, who am I really? And what is truth? What is our purpose? Why are we here? And then, of course, wild synchronicities started coming into my reality, and I actually started following them. And it was the beginning of now, what I identify as my shamanic initiation. So I spent 5 years in actual initiations. The synchronicities led me first to a mystery school that's connected with the Dogon in West Africa. I spent 3 years in that initiation. And then that led me to initiate as a shaman in South Africa in the Zulu tradition. And that's where the title Makosi comes from. That's not my name, it's a title. And ever since I finished that initiation in 2018, that's when the Royal Shaman was born, a few months after that, because Makosi means either the Royal Shaman, or it also means chief or king. And now I'm here.
And now you're here. And I don't know about anybody else listening to this right now, but I still have chills from hearing the story of your best friend visiting you. I mean, wow, what a beautiful experience that has no other outcome but to like completely like 180 your perspective and how you move about life. I think it's, you know, it's so challenging, but it's also so beautiful because it was kind of like one of the dominoes, right? Just like getting your first tarot deck was a domino. That was a huge domino that fell that led you down this path. And I was thinking about this the other day. You know, so often when we're going through the hard things, it's really hard for us on like an emotional level to connect with the cognitive, oh, I know that this is for me, right? Because conceptually, for those of us that are in the personal development space, we can tell ourselves that all the live long day, but in our bodies, so often we don't feel that unless we're looking back in retrospect. And so I'm so curious because that wasn't, it's not like you had that experience and then it was like, and now I am Makosi and now I am a shaman and now I am using all of my gifts to shed light in the world and to support people. You actually experienced a lot of hardship throughout that entire timeline that you just gave us. I know even with your son that you, like you said, he was a miracle baby. You weren't even sure if you were ever going to be able to have children, and to have your son and then to be able to study in Africa and really like embody this work came with suffering, came with struggle, came with challenge. And I'm curious, when you look back upon that entire timeline that you just gave us, and think about the things that you learn the most from it. And maybe it is in retrospect, you can look back and reflect on what you've learned the most about it or through it. In hindsight, what do you feel were lessons, beliefs, mindsets, ideologies that you picked up that potentially are very contrasting to what majority of society believes or identifies with?
Well, there's so many. One is going to be very controversial, but I'm actually thinking about it today. And part of why I'm feeling very raw about it is because over the weekend, I found out that the man who murdered her is actually going to be released early from prison. He was sentenced to 40 years. He's getting out. It's only been 13 years. Wow. It actually took years of her mom really fighting to get evidence and information about what actually happened that day. We still don't know fully what happened that day, but it took years. And he's being released, which of course, is bringing up all of the things. And that's caused me to reflect a lot on that experience specifically. But my controversial take is that I actually have been able to heal. However, I didn't do so through forgiveness. And actually, forgiveness, especially in the spiritual space, is like pushed as like, if you are an empathic person, if you're a good person, you have to forgive, right? And if you're not forgiving, then, you know, you're a bad person or you're not spiritual. And I actually think that forgiveness and even the automatic, oh, well, I have to forgive. Like, I've seen some of the most traumatic things happen and people automatically go to that. But what I'm noticing is that we don't actually identify the emotions that we're feeling. We just suppress them. And listen, I'm not like the most emotional person. Got lots of Virgo. but what I recognize is that I was using like this pressure that I needed to forgive, to bypass my actual emotions. And so on this journey, one of the things that I've just recognized is the importance of actually connecting with my body, because I am such an intellectual person. I can intellectualize my emotions. It's actually been a real practice for me to actually identify and feel what I actually feel, right? Not try to skip over it, but what is it in my body that I actually feel? The other thing that comes up as well that is probably very different mindset wise is I recognized that I did not have faith. Because what was I going to have faith in, essentially? I didn't know. There's no way you could have said to me, Makosi, this is all working out in your favor, because at the end of this, all this suffering, you are going to become a shaman and a spiritual teacher. And, you know, life is going to be amazing beyond belief. I didn't have faith in that because I didn't know. I couldn't have imagined it. What I did instead, and my mindset shifted around building self-trust. Essentially creating a relationship with myself where I prioritize myself as number one in my life, and that I practice keeping my word to myself. And what that does and has done over time, and it allowed for me to do, to go fly to Africa to initiate, essentially, I had built such a level of self-trust in myself. It created this confidence because I decided that no matter what challenges were going to come up in my life, no matter what experiences showed up, that I was going to have my back. And I stopped placing myself on the back burner just to make everyone else happy and to just like seem normal to everyone, because none of my journey has been normal. You know, along the way, people were like, do we need to like have her committed? Because this doesn't, who doesn't go to med school and instead like works at Target and then becomes a shaman, right? That looked very crazy.
Yeah. But no, it's so true. And I know some of the women that are here today with us live, we've had this conversation before. It's that no matter what mindset that establishes the faith to get you going. And like, that's a decision you make. That's a choice to follow through on what you say you're going to do and to make sure that you are being deliberate and intentional with your word and not letting yourself down. And I think that's what's so cool about it is like, it's all in your control, right? That's the piece that's in your control. You can choose to continue to show up for yourself. You can choose to continue to get back up Energy must be moving. You can choose to continue to get back up if you fall down. You can choose to learn from the failures or the mistakes or wherever you felt like things didn't unfold as you had expected. Like, that's all a choice. And I think that it's really easy when we're so programmed by society to feel like there's only a couple set paths that we can take. Law school, med school, you know, motherhood, whatever it might be. But in reality, we are. Have you ever seen those graphics online? I feel like you share these graphics often. They're like the very minimal graphics where it's like there's your life up until this point and then like one decision, and then it breaks out into like 12 different paths forward. And it's just really cool to think about it that way, where every single decision is leading us either left, right, forward, straight, backwards. And we just have to be the one to make the decisions that are in accordance with, like you were talking about earlier, your calling. And I actually want to go back to that for a second. You said that, I think you said it was like a calling sickness where you're not following your calling. And this is something I talk to my clients about a lot too, because I know whenever I ignore my calling, whenever I ignore my inner guidance system telling me go this way or go that way, I experience the worst anxiety, and I'll have chronic acne and like cystic breakouts all over my skin. And so whenever I hear somebody sharing that they have something coming up for them that's physical or even emotional, I'm always curious about where they might not be listening and what's happening under the surface that's out of alignment with what's being experienced in their physical realm.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing because, well, number one, from my perspective, everything starts in the spiritual, right? I mean, there's nothing that we can think of that doesn't have a non-physical beginning. And so even things that, you know, maybe we caught a bug from someone else, or, you know, we experience an autoimmune condition and so on and so forth. Our first thing usually is to just deal with the symptoms, but also there are underlying spiritual causations for lots of things. That doesn't mean to just like ignore the physical side, right? We still need to navigate this side, but also recognizing that our natural state is to flourish, right? That doesn't mean that we don't have, you know, certain illnesses show up or certain expressions that come through, or even being born with certain physical challenges in this life. But ultimately, we do have a lot of say in how we navigate our physical being. And I notice, even now I'm so sensitive to it that I can recognize like, oh, I'm getting this like severe fatigue. What might be causing that? And maybe it's being caused by the food that I eat, but the food that I eat is being caused by something on either an emotional level or a spiritual level. Maybe I'm trying to fill a void with Snickers. I don't know. but for me, I could not have made that connection so young. Or, I mean, where would I have really found that? I wasn't in an environment that was even a possibility. But the sickness and following, you know, trying to heal ultimately guided me. Right? Like my sickness just became so adamant that I couldn't ignore it. And the more that I learned about my body and like how the energy systems work and so on and so forth, it led to me understanding more about who I am and who I'm here to be, and understanding, you know, how certain things express in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting the further you go, how you can begin to pick up patterns. Like for myself, if I start to get migraines, I know that it's because I have too much on my plate. from a work perspective. If I have, cystic acne breakouts like around my chin, it's more relational and emotional around like things that are happening in my personal life. And so it's been really cool. I mean, I don't love when it happens because it means that there's something that I need to address, but it's cool that my body speaks to me through patterns of the physical. And that if I start to see those things come up, I can just ask myself, okay, what was going on the last time that this happened? All right, are there any patterns of those same things happening again? And address it right then and there. And it clears up so much faster. I think it also is a really great way for us to let the physical body tell us when it's time to rest, especially as like high achievers. I know for myself, it's so easy for me to just push, push, push. Last week, I think with the time change and South by Southwest is happening here in Austin. So there's just a lot of energy and I was exhausted and my mind wasn't exhausted, but my physical body was so exhausted. And I really had to like give myself grace and say, Ava, it's okay for you to rest for 2 days. You don't have to keep going and going and going. And in fact, when you give yourself the space to just rest, like that's where the insight and the downloads for what gets to come next can come through.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're speaking my language. I can relate 1000%.
It's a challenge. Okay. So I want to shift gears a little bit. So you obviously work with a lot of trailblazers, a lot of successful business owners. Where do you find that these people who are already established, at the 7-8 figure mark are seeking the most support right now? And what tends to be the key for them when they come to you asking for support where they are actually able to get unstuck?
Yeah. Right now, what's been really interesting, I've been watching some of the trends happening over the last like 12 months or so. And what's fascinating is there's this experience that visionaries are having where they're recognizing that what happened or what worked in the past, it's very clear we're never going back. Mm-hmm. Like it's very obvious that now is the time that we have to do things differently, because things that were working even just 2 years ago, not working the same way. And I think part of that is birthing this really great opportunity for leaders to discover their truth and to actualize their truth into their businesses. Most visionaries that I come across who find themselves stuck have created a business that's succeeded mainly because they were creating it from a place of lack, from a place of, I don't want to struggle anymore. So I'm going to fight, hustle, build so that I never have to struggle again. Mm-hmm. Right. Or they, saw that so-and-so did X, Y, Z, and they're like, oh, I can do that too. And then they just kind of built something based off of what they saw someone else building. And that caps you at a certain level, because each of us is here to be a very unique expression of divinity. This is how I perceive it, that when we are that expression, when we are our true self, right? That's when we're able to access flow. That's when we're able to see and experience what seemed to be impossible, but now that's your norm, or that's your everyday occurrence, right? Magic and miracles, like every day. So what happens is when you get so attached to how you think things have to be, how you think things should be or need to go, you can get stuck and fixated on embodying or being a very specific version of you. But this true self, your true self, your essence, really desires to be different, to be unique, to be an individual. And ultimately, that's like the secret sauce. It's going on the inner journey to discover your truth, who you actually are, and then bring that onto this plane. That sounds so woo, but this is this is very, very tangible. Like, for example, a lot of the leaders who come to me either are manifestation mentors or have been in the manifestation space or in personal development for some period of time, because my people tend to be visionaries, trailblazers, right? So they already understand the concept of working on themselves. But what they do is they look outside, right? They're like, oh, I want to build $1 million a year business. How do people that I see with $1 million a year business, how do they act? Well, you go and maybe you see Gary Vee and he's like, you got to put out 30 pieces of content today and you need to wake up at 5 a.m. and you need to do da 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 da. And so they start doing that. And listen, there's nothing wrong with doing that if it is aligned for you, right? If you are a person, let's say, like, I'm a person who actually does my best work at night, right? That's actually my natural flow. So I could find myself getting stuck if I was attached to, no, a successful entrepreneur has to get up at 5 a.m. and I'm missing my window of creativity every single night because I'm like forcing myself to be like someone else versus exploring, well, what would this successful version of me do? Right. Mm-hmm. I've been ranting a lot lately. I've been ranting on this revelation or this realization. I'm like, I'm not, like, I love men, but I'm just not listening to male thought leaders right now. I'm like, I'm taking a break from you all right now, because if you are a woman, right? If you are a woman, there are just some things that are very different about how we operate. And if a man is telling me I need to be consistent in order to be successful, right? Their consistency looks like every single day because they have a 24-hour cycle. That makes sense for them. That's how they're in flow. But for us, we are four people every month, right? Where if we just attune to our energy cycle and how our energy works, we can more than succeed, right? But it's trying to force ourselves to fit into certain boxes that just might not work for us.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Melissa says in the chat, that is so incredibly accurate. Yeah, I'm imagining everybody else here is maybe also asking, like, and thinking, because I'm thinking this selfishly, where do we begin that exploration? And I want to give a little bit of backstory before you answer this, because I want the answer to be directed towards me. And I know it'll help everyone.
Okay. The whole reason that you even do a podcast.
Exactly. Okay, so everything that you just shared with, I resonate with so deeply. And something that's really interesting is, you know, I started my business in 2016, 2017 as a blog, then the podcast, then coaching. And so I didn't really get into coaching until I think it was beginning of 2019. And when I got into it, I mean, I was charging like $400 a month, like pennies to the dollar, and booked out right away and realized that I would need to have a bajillion clients if I ever wanted to make like real money with coaching, if I was charging that much. And so by the end of 2019, raised my prices, 2020 started, my coaching was going amazing. I started the Academy of Breath right at the beginning of the pandemic. People like bum rushed the Academy of Breath because it was an online education platform. Obviously, at the beginning of 2020, everyone was online. And from 2020 to end of 2021, I would say, it was just like, it was crazy. It was beautiful, but it was crazy because it was such a fast, like, quantum leap, I like to say, even though it wasn't like an overnight thing. And granted, at the end of 2021, beginning of 2022, that's also when I was leaving my marriage. And so going back to other things happening in my life, there was a lot of emotional stuff. There was a lot of just chaos that I was experiencing, which led me to kind of take a step back in business. And I'm so grateful that I had the ability to do that. But once 2022 started, I definitely felt what you shared of like the old ways are not really working anymore. And from 2022 till now, it's been this kind of like I've got this like square peg and this round hole, and I'm just trying to like shove it in there, figuring things out. And it's been incredibly frustrating. There's been lots of revelations that have happened as well, and good things that have come from it, and changes that had to be made. But I'm so curious because this feels like it's so aligned with what you just shared. Where does the exploration start for people who are like resonating with what I'm sharing and really feeling like they do need to make changes to find their true self and have found their true self before, but it's different now, and it doesn't feel like the old ways are necessarily working.
I love an energy audit and regular energy audits. And the reason why I think these are so powerful is because we can get very hung up on, I created this level of success before doing this, this, and this, right? But we don't recognize that, hey, time has changed. Time has changed. We have changed, right? Like if we go right now and try and start a horse and buggy business, it's probably going to be challenging unless you find a really great niche, right? It's going to be challenging, mainly because most of us are not using horse and buggy anymore. So one of the things that I feel with purpose is that we get attached sometimes to the one way that we think that it has to express, right? And when that doesn't work, then we think, oh, there's something wrong with us. Versus identifying, okay, times have changed. They're changing all the time. That's the one thing that we can guarantee. Time has changed, and also I have changed. So we have access to an internal GPS system that is always there to show us where our next step is. And that is always available to us. Sometimes that next step is actually to just be still, tune out the distractions. Sometimes that's what it is. But taking time to, like, yes, we want to look at the past and use that as evidence that we can create, that we have certain gifting and so on and so forth, but not be attached to that version of ourselves anymore and look at, okay, who is this version that is trying to emerge right now? And the way that I do that and encourage clients to do this is to start paying attention, even if it's just for a week. Pay attention to where is energy flowing in your life. So for example, you and I are probably going to get off here and be energized once we get off, right? That is a sign that goes in our little energy audit notebook, right? That, okay, this right here still aligned. This is great, right? However, like I also have a podcast, and one thing in my own energy auditing that I'm looking at, I'm like, so the podcast, like that still feels good, but the way that I'm doing it doesn't feel good. Like I actually want to be interviewed for my own podcast, right? And so now I'm exploring different ways that that could happen. So it's not always like, oh, the thing that I'm doing is not going to work, but sometimes it's how we're doing it that isn't in alignment for us, right? So much of our purpose is not about what we are doing, and it's more about how we're doing it or who we are being. So right now, I'm looking at what is it that is just like really lighting me up. And right now, for me, all I want to do is I'm like, I want to buy a one of those Vibe smart boards. Have you seen those?
No, but now I'm going to go look it up.
I'm obsessed. I'm like, oh, I'm definitely getting one of those. I don't know where the heck I'm going to put it in this office. That's part of why I haven't gotten one yet. but I'm like, all I want to do is have my smart board. And I just want to teach. Like, I want to be teaching a lot. I want to be speaking a lot, et cetera. And that came from me doing this audit and seeing, okay, what is flowing well? What is not flowing well? And then also doing this with the other people in my life. Like, my son and I had a conversation. I homeschool my son, and he asked me to teach him art. He wanted to do art every day. So I found a way. I'm like, okay, we're going to do art every day. But then every time we would get to art, he would either like rush right through it or half-ass it. Like, I'm like, son, okay, stop. What is happening here? Like, what is really going on here? Because you said that you wanted art. I'm teaching art, but you don't want to participate in it. And so we kind of brainstormed on, well, how would it feel good? And for him right now, that looks like more freestyle art versus me teaching or like giving him assignments. And so it's not, oh, we're going to take art out because he's not interested in art. It's no, we're going to try and experiment with different ways to do the thing. Does that make
I love
sense?
totally. And I think that that goes really perfectly with your work on like the different energy archetypes and how all of us are different in how we are going to approach different activities or our purpose and expression. And I remember when you shared that at the Rich Queen event, and you put your little QR code up there with the quiz. So smart. The woman knows how to market. it was just something that was, even though like in our work, it may seem so obvious, it was such a good reminder of, okay, not only do I have a specific energy archetype, but that energy might switch and it might change and it might be different from, who I was 2 years ago. Because if I think about it, it's like when I first started making really good money in my business and it started taking off, I was still pretty immature as a business owner. And who I am today is completely different. My relationship to money is completely different. My need for validation is totally different. And yeah, it's just everything that you shared is just really resonating because it's the attachment to the old ways that, especially when it's like, I'm so attached to this because it worked for me. And if I let go of my attachment to this, what else is left? And I think that that can be really scary for people, especially if you've already created success, because then you're like, I have more to lose.
Yes. Yeah, that is one of the biggest stumbling blocks for successful entrepreneurs or successful executives, right? Because when you built it and you didn't have anything to lose, right? It's like, oh, well, if I put this offer out there and it doesn't work, then okay. Oh, well, I guess I'm going to just create another one, right? But if you especially if we create what we thought was going to create a certain experience for us, et cetera, and we get attached too much to it, right? It's like a balance. We have to care. We have to still care about the thing we created, but not be too attached to it, right? And once we can let go of, well, what does that success mean about me, right? Or who am I despite the success or without the success, or just in general, who am I really? Then we can start to explore, okay, from who am I really? What is it that I desire to create and experience? And not be too quick to, this is the other thing that I see. We are very often super quick to just burn everything to the ground. And sometimes it doesn't require completely burning it down to the ground. Maybe it requires delegating more, right? Or shifting how things are delivered, or shifting who. Like, I found a huge shift in energy when I shift who I'm working with, right? So those are all different areas that we can look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the burning things to the ground, I see so many people that just want to like throw in the towel, and there's just no opportunity to really learn and really be able to master the art of refinement if it's just like on to the next, on to the next, on to the next. I think that there's this impatience too. And I'm curious your thoughts on this, because obviously from the pandemic on, there's a lot of new people that are business owners, entrepreneurs, just in the age that we live in today. It's a lot easier to do it air quotes for everyone that's just listening, than it used to be when we didn't have as much access to information and a smartphone and all of these free marketing platforms. And on top of that, we see, you know, people such as yourself, or I'm thinking of like the mentors that I've had that have tons of success, have made a lot of money. And for somebody that is in the more beginning stages, or even somebody who's like at multiple six figures, seeing that, it can bring up a lot of impatience, right? Because they're not actually seeing everything behind the picture. They're just seeing where you're currently at, or where whoever is at right now. And so I'm curious, because I believe I'm special, but I also feel like average isn't the right word, but I have a pretty typical entrepreneurial journey, right? I didn't like shoot up to seven figures in my first year. It's been a slow burn, which I appreciate. And, you know, obviously I'm very impatient as well, but I've had a lot of moments where it's like before the breakthrough happens, a hell of a lot of impatience sets in. And I'm curious, like, your take on just that liminal space, the gray area before, for people, especially when we have these bigger dreams, because bigger dreams can take a little bit longer to manifest. How do you work with your clients that are in that space, like the breakdown before the breakthrough, as some would call it?
Yeah. Well, I will share 1000% transparently that I'm currently navigating a version of this, and I've done this many, many times. And so I can tell you how I'm actively navigating, not just like theoretically, how I actually navigate it, because I am not immune to these experiences. And also, I know a lot of people have seen my success and have been like, oh my gosh, how did you do this so quickly? And like, the truth of this is this did not come quickly. My very first experience in entrepreneurship was making and selling pies at the Amish market. I have Amish Mennonite family, and I was 9 years old making and selling pies at the Amish market. And then my first business, well, you could say tarot was one. I charged kids in my middle school for tarot readings. And also I started a tutoring business in seventh grade. Okay. So all through up, I've been in some form of business or some form of learning sales. I have 2 degrees in business, one in business, one in marketing management. I've worked in selling all sorts of different things, jewelry, high-end mattresses, on and on and on and on and on. And even in my first year of this business, I think I only did $16,000, right? So the thing that has worked for me consistently over the years is to find the feeling in the present in a very real, tangible way. Because we think, oh, once I have that success, then I will get to experience freedom. And we become impatient because we're like, but that's what's going to give me the freedom. But it doesn't, because you didn't build it from the frequency or the feeling of freedom, right? You were building it from the frequency of I'm not free. So that is what you create. That's why we have entrepreneurs, and I've worked with entrepreneurs in the multiple six, seven, eight figures who don't feel free once they've created the success. I mean, we all hear the stories, right? Mm-hmm. But this is actually what's happening. So the impatience comes from thinking that, okay, then once we have that, then I can be free, or then I can be fulfilled, or then I can be connected, or then I can be purposeful, and on and on and on. The cure to the impatience, the cure to navigating the liminal space or navigating that void, is to find, where can I feel and experience and be free, fulfilled, in flow, etc. now? How can I experience that now? Because if you are regularly in that frequency now, that is what you are creating the success with, right? Like that's like if you go to bake a cake, right? And you're like, oh, I can't wait till this cake is done. You're like, you're mixing everything, you're putting it in the oven, and you're like, oh, I'm getting impatient. I can't wait till it's done. It's going to be so amazing. But then you used dirt and worms to bake the cake. When it comes out, it's not going to be yummy, right? It's not going to even be what you thought it was going to be, or what you wanted. So, you know, create the success with the joy and the love and the passion, et cetera, now, like on the journey. And when you do that, you have no reason to be impatient, because you're fulfilled right now. And then the success is just a cherry on the top. Mm-hmm. It's just like a natural byproduct. And even when it comes, like, you could be excited about it, but even the level of excitement is more tempered or more normal. It feels more normal because you're like, yeah, duh. Right? Like, we'll use a fitness reference. If you genuinely, like, I like Pilates. If I genuinely enjoy Pilates, right? While I'm doing Pilates, I'm feeling serene. I'm feeling in my body. I'm feeling whole. I'm feeling purposeful and all of that while I'm doing it. But then when I go to, let's say, you know, step on the scale and the scale has moved, it's like, yay, but it's not as big of a deal, because of course that was going to happen because of who I've been, how I've been showing up.
I've experienced that on both sides of the spectrum. I feel like to share vulnerably with my first marriage, it was very much like under the societal belief of like, these are the boxes to check off in the game of life, and you've landed here in relationship, and now you get to your marriage. And I remember like always asking my ex, when are we going to be together forever? When are we going to be together forever? Just over and over and over again until he finally popped the question. And after we got married, like literally 6 months into it, I was like, I don't know if this is actually my person. And I think that I was desiring to be in a relationship with him because of the safety associated with being married, or the idea of safety coming from being married, which just is, it's an illusion, right? I mean, it's not. And so then once our marriage started, you know, he's an amazing guy and we had lots of amazing memories together, and there was never anything bad, so to say, but it wasn't amazing. It wasn't the fairy tale. It wasn't what I felt I wanted for the rest of my life. And I know that so much of that experience came from the lack and the scarcity and the fear that I had around relationships that was encoded in the proposal, encoded in the marriage. Whereas on the other hand, in my business, you know, creating the Academy of Breath is always my favorite example. I was just so excited. I was so lit up about it. I literally received the invitation from Source to create it in my meditation practice. And it was beautiful. It was so much fun to launch it. People were signing up left and right the first time. It was just an amazing experience. And still to this day, it is just filled with the most beautiful people who can feel that energy as well too. And so I really do think that, like, even if people might think it's more esoteric, like energy really is everything. And there is a subconscious transmission of energy communicated in everything that we bring into the world.
The end.
Mic drop.
Mic. Yes.
Okay, so this conversation has been absolutely amazing. And I know that you have a lot of different ways that people can continue to follow along and learn from you. Can you share some of your favorite ways right now that people can just take that next step with you?
Yeah. One of the most interesting things that you can do is really take my essence quiz. I haven't been promoting it as much because I want to take it further, but just having some insight into an aspect of your true essence can be extremely powerful, because you can get some insight into, well, what is the energy that I am here to embody and to bring into my work and to bring into my life and really express. So you can take that quiz. It's always up on my Instagram, and also follow me on Instagram. And after we get off of this conversation, I'm going to be plotting my TikTok takeover. I'm just feeling really lit up right now about getting onto TikTok, where I have more time to go a little bit deeper on various subjects. So I'm on Instagram, but also TikTok is going to be where it's at.
Beautiful. And for everybody that's here live, it's at The Royal Shaman, correct?
Yes, at The Royal Shaman everywhere.
Yes. Okay. Amazing. And so for everybody that is catching this on replay, we'll link it in the show notes for you. Definitely take the quiz. I don't remember. I have to go back into my inbox now and see what my essence was. Can you tell just by talking to people?
Yes. In for the most part. Yeah. I can. Yeah. What's always really fascinating is how often, how disconnected sometimes we can be, like the shock that can come from it. And sometimes I also notice we take quizzes. Part of what was challenging with creating it was I tried to make it so that you couldn't trick yourself, because we sometimes take quizzes with who we think we should be versus who we actually are. Like, I did that myself. And just being open to the journey that we can start anywhere, but it's really about the exploration. For sure, you have some natural essence. I feel like that's probably what you got first and foremost. And also some romantic as well. Romantic one is a challenging one, I think, for women, but that's definitely also there.
I'll send you a DM after we get off and look back at my results and tell you if you're right.
I want to know.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been so great to have you. This conversation filled me up, and I already have so many things that I'm going to take away from this conversation. So for everybody else that was here live, thank you for joining in. For everyone watching the replay, thank you for catching us later. You can always sign up to be a part of the live show and co-create the conversation with us. Mikosi, you have been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.